Oh my God, it's been a while. And I think the people are going to like the news that we're delivering in the beginning of this one. I think us coming back in a little more regular fashion to do the film stuff has been a long time coming. It's well overdue, and I think the people are going to love it. That's right, baby, the Film Thugs. We are here, we're
getting used to it.
Exactly. We are. Fuck you. How y'all doing? I'm Jim, he is Clarkson. We are the Film Thugs. We have been doing this podcast in some form or fashion for the past 13 years, I think. Thereabouts, at least. Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to come back to do some more, because here's what I would like. I think we are in such an era of freeform that we should just say, fuck.
Fuck them.
Yeah,
I agree.
Fuck them, yeah. Let's just say screw the idea of a standard format. We've right. always evolved and grown on this. And what I think is going almost film topic to film topic
sure.
would be more interesting. Like, honestly, next week, what is, like next time we record, what the fuck is going on with the state of cinema nowadays?
Oh, yeah.
Goddamn, Short Round just won a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
That's dope true. As hell.
Saw it happen.
I love that. And it was... Steven Spielberg being there was cool as shit. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But we're in a time where I think we are about to see some really interesting shit happen. And I think we could talk about that. But today, we are talking about something badass that I've wanted to for a while.
Mm.
We have talked about a couple of albums that range from okay to a little bit less than okay.
Yes.
And now we are going to be talking about the third of the big four.
Yes.
Anthrax, and this is the album that hit after what would arguably be the one that set them.
Yeah,
that's kind of what the way I'm looking at this is Persistence of Time.
Mm.
That was the album that broke them through. That was their big one up to that point,
right.
to where their next album was something people were waiting for.
Right.
So this hits, and I wasn't sure what I was going to think of it because, okay, new lead singer, what the shit are they doing? And before we get going on any of it, I will say unquestionably, this is my probably favorite album of the 90s. I can't think of a full album from the 90s that I think is better than this.
Right.
And I have listened to this from beginning to end so many times.
Yeah.
I love this album. I think it is basically perfect.
We go through the usuals here. May 1993, Elektra, was their first record for Elektra,
mm-hmm.
produced by Dave Jordan, who had done a lot of work with Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction.
Okay, see?
So there's where you have what I read in a few reviews as the grunge sound.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Not really, but it has more of the grunge tuner
right.
at the helm, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bush co-wrote all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Yeah.
Not just
yeah.
hear some lyrics and whatever. And it was certified gold in Canada, 50K, and gold in the States, 511K.
Damn. That's...
It's ridiculous for me to think about Anthrax selling
yeah.
that many
yeah.
hard bits of media
yeah.
back in the day.
Yeah.
And I'll just get all this... Hello.
Whoa,
where'd
goodness.
I go? Hello.
You still there? Hang on. Hold on a moment.
Professional.
This is how we do it. How about...
Is it?
Hold on. I think that...
Am I here?
There you go. Let's just... There you go. How about right. now?
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Are you hearing yourself?
Yeah, there
oh, there it is.
There's the volume right. I like.
Ha ha.
Must have been Joey Belladonna.
Yeah.
What I'm about
fuck.
To say. Oh, Scott yeah. Ian on Changing Singers. Quote, but it wasn't a quick decision. We were very much a unified front, the four of us, because otherwise it wouldn't have happened. There was never an easy way to talk about this stuff, he continued. Certainly, when we were in the thick of it, when it was happening, it's horrible when you're having to make a decision like this. But it just really came down to creatively, where we all felt like there was just no way the band could move forward. We had just hit a wall. It was the heaviest decision in the history of the band, certainly. And even that I felt like it doesn't give the weight that it needs. There is never anything personal with Joey. It was never personal with him. It just really came down to the creative ability for the band, honestly, to move forward. And I hate that it's something that happened. 2016, he was on the What the Fuck with Marc Maron podcast when that was still a thing. Is it still?
I think it is, yeah.
He, quote, just truly didn't have the patience anymore. I think my biggest problem was I was writing the words and I couldn't deal with the fact anymore that someone else was singing my lyrics. But I couldn't sing. There was no way I was going to be the singer of Anthrax. I think it really came down to that, that I couldn't stand it anymore. These are my words, these are my feelings, my emotions, and you're not me. And even learning the songs and hearing them back, that's not how I hear it in my head. No, no, like this, like this, like this. He continued, my solution at the time was turning around with the rest of the band and saying, it's either Joey or me. Okay. I've got a theory, but I'm going to finish this off with Belladonna. This is Belladonna on it, the poodle himself. Belladonna, quote, personally, it just sucks to think of all those years, all the years that went by that I didn't really have a chance to do anything. Because I could have sang on any of those records that were made during the John Bush era. Not to say that what they did was whatever reason and whatever style and all that stuff. I could have easily sang that regardless. No bones, period. It would have been easy to sing. It's just I think they were chasing some other idea. I'll always say that. Whether they disagree, I don't think there was any reason to make the move. But you know what? We're here now. Okay. All right. Here's my theory on this. Scott got tired of dealing with Joey Belladonna's bullshit.
Yeah.
That I didn't even realize was bullshit. Until John Bush showed up. That is how powerful John Bush's contribution to was. I didn't really think there was a problem until he showed up and realized, oh my God.
Yeah.
What a massive problem.
Yes. Uh-huh. He fundamentally altered what that band was. I don't know if I've ever, like, Van Halen to Van Hagar was a drastic change.
Very.
I do not think it was in the neighborhood of this change. This is like, yeah, I almost have to rebrand them.
Almost.
At this point, because I would like to simply take issue with a statement earlier. Nuh-uh.
No. No.
And do you know how we know nuh-uh? Because you have tried and failed about as miserably as a person can fail. I genuinely was taken aback by him singing only that you said. I thought it would be at a minimum competent.
No. Not even close.
But it wasn't.
No. Yeah, this episode is brought to you by that video, basically.
Like, Jesus.
I sent Jim this thing. Anthrax performs only after 10 years, 15 years, and whatever, however long it was. And Joey Belladonna is singing only.
Nuh-uh.
doing his best. James Hetfield described only as the perfect song.
I don't disagree. It's so simple
to play.
It's
so simple. It's so
elegant.
So just right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the blast of silence of songs. It is lean. Yeah. It hits the ground sprinting, and it doesn't stop until the fucking end. It's perfect. Yeah. You're right. It's that Supernauts level of perfect.
Yes, absolutely. And it is a fucking nightmare to hear Joey Belladonna sing.
It is awful.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I don't believe that he ever got paid to be a singer. It's so bad.
It is.
It's the worst fucking cover of a song I've ever heard. Okay, big surprise that I found out this week. So you are familiar with the world's only reverse platinum record, yes?
No.
The Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club Band soundtrack. Yes. Yeah. For those who don't know, the album that was mostly Bee Gees covers of Beatles songs had to ship back 4 million copies to the distributor, to the company to be destroyed. It's the first album that ever went negative platinum. But surprise in the middle of it, There is a cover that Paul McCartney describes as the perfect cover that is better than the original and what he intended it to sound like.
Mm.
And that is Earth, Wind, and Fire's cover of Gotta Get You Into My Life.
Well.
And that just shows you, even in the middle of that,
right,
there can be this gem. With Joey, there's not.
No.
You know how you can tell that John Bush is a better singer? There is an album called The Greater of Two Evils, released by Anthrax, and it is exclusively Belladonna-era songs sung by John Bush.
And it is...
so good.
So fucking good.
It really, really, really is.
This video of JoJo the Poodle Dog Man singing only sent me in an Anthrax hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to relive that feeling of the 90s when Sound of White Noise came out, where I had to go. Everything changed. It's like finding out some terrible secret of the world.
Yeah.
And having to go back at things you thought and rethink everything. Yeah. So all those records, to give full disclosure of all this Anthrax thing, how far it goes back with me.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first, they were one of the first bands along with Sabbath, Metallica, that I got into hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like State of Euphoria. I had the shirt. Mm-hmm. I had the record. Oh, yeah. It was in my Walkman.
Yeah, you had it. I'm betting you had at least one shirt with the Not Man on it.
I did not.
You didn't.
Not. By that time, I kind of slipped off to more Metallica Slayer.
Right on, right.
But
I understand.
Among the Living,
yeah,
and State of Euphoria, constantly in my Walkman, mm-hmm, all the time.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sound of White Noise happens, and I have to, I remember in the 90s going back and listening to that stuff and being like, what?
Yeah.
Wow. Fuck, man. And for the longest time, I didn't listen to Anthrax because I was just like depressed by how awful Joey's voice is.
Yep.
And not necessarily awful, but so like,
not.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Like, what?
What are you bringing to the table?
Yeah. Are you, like, challenged and they feel bad for you?
Right.
I just don't get it. And while watching videos last night, watching the videos that we're going to discuss, at one point I just let it play through. So it queued up another video and it was something current. Or some of the later stuff of Anthrax.
Uh-huh.
And everything's sounding awesome. Sure, you know. Musically,
mm-hmm,
and then that fucking dude's voice hits, and it's, well,
God damn it,
I haven't felt that way since Dokken.
Yeah, he does have a Dokken-esque quality.
It's just like,
it's
but
not,
at least in Dokken, Don's goofy fucking look and sound. I mean, at least it's like, oh yeah, well,
yeah,
Dokken, that tracks. But you've got this muscle car,
yeah.
That, you know, just, and then when you honk, it goes.
It's a clown horn.
It's just, what the fuck is this? So the fact that he can say, I could have easily sang those. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of
here. I could sing them.
Yeah, I could too.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No.
But we could easily do this.
But no, I don't understand it.
Like,
and it keeps them from being a bigger band.
I was never a big Anthrax fan until that album. I didn't own any of their shit. I didn't know their songs.
Thank God.
First time I heard Caught in a Mosh was off of Lesser of Two Evils.
Right, right.
Yeah, next time I heard it was when I saw him live and Joey was singing it. And I was like,
oh.
Aww.
Yeah, because for me,
look at her go.
Yeah, the Anthrax started to, the wheels started to fall off.
Yeah,
they had a lot of jokes and I'm the man shit.
Yeah,
stuff that I don't know. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah,
and I started losing any interest in it. So this whole singer change, I didn't even see coming.
Yeah.
Like, it was just watching Headbangers. I wasn't tapped. What the fuck? I didn't have internet. He had to read magazines like a fucking troglodyte.
The thing that hit first for it on me was the instrument change, because they remained Jackson, but suddenly Scott Ian is there with those big old, like, soft body.
Yeah.
And like,
what? Yeah.
The fuck Surfcaster nonsense are you doing here?
Kerry King coming out in a Gretsch.
Exactly, yeah. But it fucking worked.
But it worked.
And I remember being somewhat interested and then seeing the video for only one afternoon in San Antonio and being like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
This is really good. I'm going to...
Yeah, I had no fucking idea. Yeah. It was on Headbangers Ball, I think. And it's Anthrax coming up. I'm like, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
See what this shit's. I'm like, sound of white noise. That's okay. That's not Attack of the Killer Bees.
Yeah.
That's not some like tongue in cheek.
Exactly.
Party music or whatever. Yeah. And then I'm like, is that the fucking guy from Armored Saint?
Yeah. And what I love about John Bush is the way his voice sounds, his posture makes sense. He has that chin up back to really like, hit like, oh, you are not hurting your voice at all. You have control over this and you are like the level of breath support he gets behind his singing is like, oh, that's why Metallica wanted him.
Yeah. Because he can get across a tough sounding voice without going guttural.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
without sounding like he's trying to sound tough.
Yeah, I think I saw a recent post, a video with like a TikTok of Sting talking. Uh-huh. Like, well, you can't be a baritone in a rock band. Like, oh?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. If you're John Bush.
Yeah.
I can almost picture Scott Ian's face and feel his emotions the first time he worked out with them.
Yeah.
Rehearsed with them. Like, oh, that's
this
it.
Is what I've wanted to sound
because
like.
Because it's so, it's completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
Than Belladonna. It's not
concussive.
Like, you know, the difference between Deano and Dickinson. Yes.
Yes.
Deano is very punkish. But, and I say punkish just because motherfucker can't sing
as well as Bruce.
I
love what they're saying. He's like, no, the only reason anybody thinks that first album sounds punk is because it was recorded like shit.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the next album. There's no punk there. It's the same everything.
Right.
He's recorded it better. I just love how pissed off they get. Dave Murray smiles a little bit less.
Yeah. That's it.
And that's
saying something.
Bad. You should. Yeah. If Dave's not fully smiling.
Right. Well, he didn't start smiling until Bruce showed up.
Well, hell yeah.
And he was like, oh, this is very good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
Oh, wonderful.
It's fantastic. Have you heard Bruce? Yeah, Dave. He's been in the band for years. He's really good.
Really quite good.
He's quite good.
I think you'd enjoy him.
I think he's a really good singer. Dave, he's been in the band. I know. I know. Sometimes I listen to it and I'm like, oh, I need that band.
Listen to that. That's us. Oh, my.
Fantastic. Bruce is such a... Isn't he a good... Guys, isn't he a good singer? Thank God he's
good. I finally feel it's appropriate to say it.
Yes.
Didn't want to come off too familiar.
Fuck Paul Deano. Fuck him in his ass.
Fuck him, stupid fat boy.
But it's very different.
And then the dam breaks and then
Right. Fuck
everything about him. Like, right. Oh my God.
Right.
He turns into fucking Peter Capaldi in the thing of it. It's like, that fucking prick.
Exactly.
Oh no.
Exactly. So, yeah. But the line, it's different, but the line between Deano and Dickinson is not as, it's straighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, you can see,
there's
like...
There's an evolutionary
I
move.
Get it. There's sort of the same vibe, but obviously someone who's classically trained versus someone who just sings in the shower.
Yeah.
Got it. But it is night and fucking day.
Yes. It literally is a stick of dynamite in the middle of that style. And when it comes to the video breakdown, I think there's three chapters that we need to do it in.
Mm.
Performance, High Pro Glow, and then the one we really want to talk about.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and I think you get what...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
There's only one of any...
Any merit to discuss video-wise.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The details of those, they did four videos, and much like Metallica, they did three videos and one something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know what this is.
Love High Pro Glow. That video is so goddamn weird.
Oh, that video is, what did I write here, thinking that was so goddamn funny? Both of these videos are as 90s as heroin chic hair and Monica Lewinsky jokes.
Yes.
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 Uh-huh. I think that's a solid gag.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
Anyway, they are, but... The first one only was directed by Paul Elledge, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Right.
Paul Elledge and Mark Pellington. Paul is known for Only. He did Ministries, Jesus Built My Hot Rod, and some documentary called Love Charlie, The Rise and Fall of Chef Charlie Trotter.
Okay.
Don't know. Mark Pellington,
on the other hand,
is known for Arlington Road and Mothman Prophecies primarily.
I mean, he's like Pellington has had a more mainstream career. Correct. Arlington Road.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Not bad. But so Only has the it's the most perfect of all of them. As far as a music video goes?
Yes. Yes.
Like, okay. Because it still holds up. I can still watch the video without necessarily getting beat to death by the 90s like Room for One More and High Pro Glow.
Oh, yeah.
Because Room for One More is like...
Room for One More was like they took the video for Only and was like, good, but it's not of the 90s enough.
Exactly.
Because that, it seriously, Room for One More is a cool sequel. But it definitely is, oh shit, we're ladling the 90s on this.
Oh my.
What's funny is those two songs.
I saw Dan Cortez in the background.
Oh, you had to. You had just curling boys.
yeah.
But I don't know why that came out. There you go. I love those two, I think, are like the best two to start the album with, because Only, I think that's their most accessible. I said perfect. Oh, yeah. Room for One More has such a aggressive, like, feel to it. And, like,
oh, yeah.
And that idea, you know, and the idea of what the song is, where it's like, no, you can't escape your past. Like, a bad guy's a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Frankie, baby. You
know? And that's the most, like, here comes Scott stomping around.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
They, riff in the world. Like, I need to write a riff that sounds like Scott Ian walking.
Right.
And in my mind, that's how he walks everywhere.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Just, hey, everybody. Just, and his daughter's right next to him.
Yeah, same thing. Just, yeah.
Boom, girl.
Skanking pickle everywhere.
Hell yeah. Damn.
But, yeah, it is very a great, great song with it the really video is, being like, eh. Whereas only the video is like, okay, yeah, that still this still makes sense. It's
there's
something I can watch.
Appropriate enough 90s in this.
Yes. Oh,
and here's how you can do really understated guitar solos, Metallica. Mm. Has there ever been a more understated guitar solo than the one and only?
No.
It's fucking perfect.
But it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah. Everything in it. And immediately you were like, this is a different band. And what I love is, it's not the lead track of the album.
No.
But it makes the most sense as a lead single.
Yes.
Like fucking, This Is a Journey into Sound.
Right.
With fucking, what's it called? With Potter's Field. Potter's Field, that is an album opener.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Only that's what you want to lead with. I agree with the first two singles on this. Makes perfect sense. Now, I think we save the next the next chronologically for last. Sure. But, I think High Pro Glow got released first off because Joey's ass said I could sing those songs. And they were like, okay, everybody, imagine that.
Imagine, for best I can explain for this time, certainly for the time, Anthrax being experimental.
Yes.
Right? It is, I don't think of a better word. It's very stylized and very experimental for that kind of sound, for that band.
Yeah.
For them to come up with that is pretty, you can feel the energy in the room when they're writing it of like, this is so weird and so different.
Fucking,
and they get that weird, like, creative tingles, you know? Yeah, fuck it. Let's just do that. Sounds great.
Like, that's the chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
You got that look I want.
Yeah, that's completely different world.
Oh, fuck yeah.
From
who,
anything.
What?
There.
When? Where? Right. What? Fucking go for it, Joey.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Convince me.
Convince me that this should or possibly could have fucking been you.
Right. And I'm not saying Joey Belladonna can't sing.
No.
Like he doesn't deserve to be a frontman of something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. It's not. This is not the hate Joey Belladonna's voice.
But
show.
But if I were to find out, you know, if at that time Joey Belladonna had joined Rat, I'd have been like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Joey Belladonna took over for Dawkin.
Right. Yeah. Well, if they take over Dawkin, a powerhouse, the video, the news release, powerhouse joins Dawkin.
Yeah. Yeah. Joey Belladonna's Dawkin.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fine.
Don Dawkins, Dawkin, starring Joey Belladonna.
Right.
Featuring Herman Vanderchuk.
Exactly. They should form a band again.
They really should. They really should. Call it Mediocrity.
Yeah.
It's just...
Ian wanting so much more aggression and power.
Yeah.
Is the what I kept going, the word that kept coming up while listening to. Yeah. Not just Anthrax with John Bush. I listened to Armored Saint because it's the same. He doesn't change anything.
Nope.
He just took on the ideas that Ian wanted to get across with his lyrics and contributed his own, and was able to deliver the same thing he does, just in a very anthraxy, for lack of a better word, sound.
But what I love is how it sounds so much more grown up. Like,
absolutely.
I totally get where, oh, this is you writing the lyrics you wanted to write as opposed to the lyrics you had to write.
Right.
For Poodle Dog.
Yeah.
For Fuzzy Poodle Doo.
There was a lot of reviews that I read with, depending on the closer they work to the genre and their love of it, it's a little closer to the truth, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
So Martin Popoff, who's, you know.
Yeah, Martin Popoff.
I disagree with many times. But he, being a huge fan of the genre, he was like, yeah, this is really no criticism about this record. It's dark. You hear that over and over again. By the time you get to Rolling Stone, where they probably listened to 3 seconds of whatever and they decided it's this.
Yeah.
Right? Like
they
do. Even they were like, yeah, it's powerful and dark and what you'd expect from a band like this. True.
Not at all.
Not what you would expect from a band like this.
Not at all.
Particularly all the records leading up to this. Even though Persistence of Time, according to Ian, was very different than the rest of the catalog. That's true.
Yep.
But I can't imagine the frustration of Persistence of Time, which was different writing-wise.
Yes, it was.
But wanting it to be so much angrier, so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And not having it. You just don't have the gear, brother.
Yeah. And what kills me with all of that, oh, it's very dark and aggressive. Yeah. Do you know what the main word that I use to describe this album is? Melodic.
Oh, I've heard that. That's
and beyond melodic,
a lot as well.
Catchy.
Yeah.
It is one of the catchiest goddamn records ever. Because it's one that, I mean, you remember what it was like when you got an album you weren't sure about, but there was a song on it you really liked. And you're like, okay, I'll listen to that song, then kind of skip around to whatever. Okay, I'll listen to the song before it. And that song. Okay, now, cool. And then it just sort of bled out because I was like, this is the song before it's good.
Right.
Song itself is good. Song after it's okay. Let me hear the one. Holy shit!
Oh, when you find a perfect record,
better.
Oh,
yeah,
the best.
It really and it kind of
fucking best.
You have to step back. Oh, fuck,
it's so rare these days.
Really, really,
it's
is.
So fucking rare. Particularly as an aside, the stuff I listen to most of the time, which is death metal, predominantly black metal, a lot of avant garde, especially a lot of avant garde
right.
black metal. Because there's a lot of room to breathe. It's more creative.
Yeah.
Death metal tends to be in its own little...
rigid box.
Yeah. And black metal, especially these days, is... What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Just do whatever, right?
Right.
But I had that feeling with the new Antichrist Imperium record. I was like... I heard a lot of stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, let's give it a shot. That's good. That's amazing. That's amazing. That, and then you feel, oh my God, you're looking at the track listing like, only have three more to go.
Are they?
Okay. And then the last song hits, you're like, well, fucking perfect.
Done, yeah.
Then you wait a month and come back to it.
Yep.
It's not only perfect, it's better.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that feeling. Chaos AD from Sepultura.
But what really drives it home is...
And Justice from Metallica.
Yeah. Oh, dude, when you get an album that is close, like End of Silence.
Yeah.
That first half is like,
oh,
God damn.
And then
it's like, all right, we are like, this is a freeform jazz exploration.
And all of a sudden, the monkey's eyes are your eyes. Like, oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Bad monkey. But boy. Oh. And that is always, especially when the first half of the album is so
front loaded.
Oh my God, this is so fucking good.
It's so good, you can, like, okay, I see you couldn't keep that up. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I pretend it's an EP.
Yeah. I have listened to the other half of that record decades.
No.
If I did, it was my mistake.
Feel me. Like, yeah. Oh, hell yeah, I'm into this. Yeah.
All right, fuck yeah.
Oh, you didn't need.
So fucking good, but yes. It
the monk is out.
It's like, oh, Jesus.
Get back in the box!
Oh, no.
Shut up, Job.
No.
Oh, speaking of, did you see that Vince Neil is coming to the HEB Center?
I'm sorry, as his own band is coming?
Yes, the voice behind the hits. I need to... Oh, my God.
What?
Clarkson, hold on. I thought you knew about this.
Who fucking ordered that? He's not going to fill a fucking teacup in that thing.
Oh, hold on. I think you need to...
Vince Neil?
Well, then where is the HEB Center, bitch?
Motley Crue would fill it, I think.
Well, hold on.
I think. I hope.
Because what's coming is it's gonna impress you to a certain degree.
Where's Brittany Fox,
Stryper, Steven Adler, and Vixen. The legendary voice performing all the hits, Vince Neil.
Oh my God!
With Stryper, Steven Adler, and Vixen.
I would be stoked to see Vixen. Yeah. If I could be stoked at all, that's the only thing I could get up for.
Stryper. Steven Adler. And
Steven Adler's Addiction, I assume? Or is it just Steven Adler?
Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses.
Ew.
With his Appetite for Destruction thing there. My question with Vixen is, who's playing bass? Is it Pia?
I guess.
Pia Vi?
I guess.
I'm not sure. But yeah, and Stryper.
Ugh. Look, Michael Sweet can sing. Is it Michael or Matthew?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Frontman of Stryper can't sing.
He can.
He can.
But you know what the problem is?
He's in fucking Stryper.
He's a fucking Stryper, yeah. He can sing. The bad news is he's contractually obligated to sing Stryper songs. That sounds like the worst evening ever. Like, I want
to, yeah,
like,
you'd want to go, because I've done this. I've succumbed to that impulse of, this will be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take, or I didn't. I didn't take into account the true believers. I don't mean Stryper. I don't mean Christians.
I mean
the people that really believe in that band.
You mean the woman older than us that was wearing nothing but lingerie at the Judas Priest show as we were leaving?
Yes.
And going,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like fucking tenth of the irony of appreciation.
San Antonio. Metal show element.
Years and years ago in the 90s. I'm still playing in a band. And a show showed up in Dallas. Of Poison, LA Guns, somebody else. I remember LA Guns and the one band I wanted to hear, and the fucking PA was going out, of course. And they had to turn LA Guns down, so great.
Wow.
Poison is up, and there are kids there, like younger than me at the time, and I'm in my 20s, and they're all dressed up like, I don't know, I was fucking Poison fans from when they were anything. CC DeVille's like, did you miss me, Dallas? And my friend Sam and I were like, fuck no. People are looking at us like, why are you here? Like, they were angry.
Oh, yeah, Poison. Like,
what? Poison sucks. Poison's always sucked.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous to even think that. Of course, most people there want to see these bands, but. At the time, I'm like, oh, it's going to be funny. It was not funny. It was a terrible time.
Oh, yeah.
Music was awful. People were fucking awful.
CC DeVille's a hell of a guitar
player. Oh, no. Nothing wrong with CC DeVille as a guitar player.
But Poison, that's about all there is to it.
Is dog shit from stem to stern.
Oh, hell yeah.
They haven't written one goddamn song worth a fuck. suck. Always sucked. Always will
that
suck.
Was the first,
fuck them to death.
First concert I ever saw.
Oh my God. So sorry.
Slaughter opened for him. Clarkson, where did I grow up?
I know.
I am just as God made me.
Oh.
Second concert I saw, though,
right,
was supposed to be Motorhead, Alice in Chains, and Ozzy. But you know what happens when Motorhead has to cancel. bring in Blind Melon.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. It's rock and roll playbook.
When life gives you lemons, set your dick on fire. Jesus Christ. God.
Oh, my God.
Swerve, bro.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm having a head rush right now. That's just needing a moment. But yeah, that's a beauty again. Oh, dude. Being some, like, kid back then.
Well, Testament canceled. What are we going to do? Enough's enough, and to save the day. Oh, my God.
Oh, good. Chip Snuff and Steven Adler. Chip Snuff.
I can't believe that Chip Snuff is not in that little review.
Yeah. He should be. Maybe he's parking cars.
Probably is.
Like, come on in, have sex with Chip Snuff.
That's the. I don't know what script we're writing, but that's the fucking name of it. Come on in and have sex with Chip Snuff.
It's that's the VIP package that you get, so it's totally worth it.
Oh, what a fucking screenplay! I just want that shopped around. You hear about this? Come on in and have sex with Chip Snuff.
What's it about? I don't know.
Netflix
already greenlit it.
Probably. Oh, man. We got a decent shot at this.
This is not bad. But you know what's funny? Speaking of the big shows and whatnot, High Pro Glow, the video, feels like their version of Zoo TV. That feels like what they were putting up. That's their screen work.
Nailed it. Yeah.
And it's a good representation of that. I think it's a very good representation of that. And I think that is probably what was happening, because that plays in concert, I think, beautifully.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
And what I love is how silly a lot of the messaging, but like, wow, this is an interesting idea about propaganda and advertising, and like, you really let the director go to fucking town on this one, didn't you?
Yeah, this was the video equivalent of telling your tattoo artist, just do whatever.
Yeah, just go to town, I don't care.
It's fine.
Yeah, my whole back, yes, the entire back.
The entire thing.
My entire back is yours. Go to town. And it's a decent video, but I love the kind of pumped up aggression of it, you know?
Yeah, I think room for one more I wrote down, directed by George Daugherty, who apparently didn't do fuck else.
Right.
The most grungy of the videos in the 90s, uninspired early Soundgarden video worship.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It really, yes. That, it didn't have...
Not the sound.
No.
The video making.
The video didn't have anything really original happening in it. The song, it has so many parts that move in such interesting ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love them using the helicopter footage, because that's that you've got that look. The music behind that has always had that real felt like a helicopter to me. And they put it together so well. But this, again, is a song that couldn't exist and a video that would not have happened with Belladonna.
No fucking, no way. No way.
This shit's too serious, man. Wow!
I mean, just imagine his face.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you are right now.
Yeah.
Google image Joey Belladonna's face. Current face.
Yeah. Just imagine him back in the day eating a big old tongue sandwich. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Like, imagine having that haircut for 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And going, well, I'm set.
Yep.
This is it.
And what
no need to grow.
Nope. None at
all. That's the problem, Joe.
And then you're right next to Scott Ian, who, question, is there a more likable person in the history of metal than Scott Ian? Just pure likability.
I can't think of the guy.
He's that Kurt Russell. There's zero unlikability factor about this guy.
No. He's a lot like Kirk Weinstein of Crowbar.
Yeah.
He just seems like a fucking fun guy to talk to. And guess what?
He is. And what I love is
that
when I saw the Slayer show, and Anthrax was one of the openers, as the show's setting up, what was it? There's Iron Maiden is playing. I think it's Number of the Beast.
Right.
And when it hits that dun-dun-dun-dun, bam, we notice Scott Ian's daughter is off to the side of the stage with headphones on, like knees sliding across the stage, rocking out to it, and throwing her arms up, and the audience is following her lead.
That's awesome.
Just like,
perfect.
You raised a kid who, that's just cool.
Yeah. No.
While dad's playing, I'm going to go hang out with Uncle Kerry.
Scott was one of the first guys, because he was obviously going way bald, way fast, even faster than Kerry.
Yeah.
He took it down to the slab, started growing a beard.
Yep.
Was very much
forward thinking in a lot of his stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I can see the frustration. I think he's underplaying it because he's so fucking nice. How frustrated he must have been to want so badly, especially if he's writing the lyrics.
Oh, hell yeah.
For the sound in his head to not get out. And every dance, every head bob, head bang, and move, and every video you ever seen with Bush in this early era, it's just pure joy.
Oh, hell yeah. You see Scott Ian cutting fucking loose.
Having the best time. His ideas fully formed and in front of him.
Just skanking Pickle around the stage like a He's having the time of his goddamn life.
Perfect.
Yep.
And it was all those things made sense. Anthrax made sense again to me with all of that. Because
it was like he couldn't play stuff that let him stomp around like that.
No, not enough. What,
that was no, it had to be the really quick and really high pitch. And like,
it just doesn't.
It would be the same. We're retreading the same fucking ground over and over
again. And unlike a voice that anchors them to a time, you can go back and listen to that stuff, or like I did, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for the time it was in.
Nope.
When you know that this exists.
Yeah.
This other thing exists.
Uh-huh.
I just can't.
I can't stand it.
I can't stand it. You know, and like, for example, Jeff Tate always sounded like that, and he sounded the same way in like Rage for Order or Queen of the Reich. That he did in Operation Mindcrime, but the subject matter had changed, so it sounded more of the time, it sounded more modern, it sounded more progressive, for lack of a better term, and it made sense, even though he's still, you know, operatic.
And then going to Empire, it felt like he was growing and evolving as a performer,
music style had changed, but it wasn't completely different.
Yeah, they weren't changing who they were. They were just growing and doing new things.
And you could do that with that voice and with that style. Yes. But for what Sound of White Noise is, there is no snowball's chance in a fucking hot oven of Belladonna being able to pull that off.
There's no fucking chance. Not even remotely.
And the fact that he even thinks he can, this was like 2016 when this quote I pulled.
Jesus.
Like, dude. But what is so perplexing about, but before we get into, well, I'll save this. Let's get into Black Lodge and we'll talk about.
Well, Black Lodge is such an interesting song because it's something that they do a lot in this album. Mm. Like, it takes a while to get to the chorus. Like, High Pro Glow, it has a lot of build before it hits the chorus. Black Lodge, a whole lot more build.
Yeah.
But it's a coiling build.
Absolutely.
So that when it hits the actual explosion of the chorus, you feel that energy is tensed up.
Yeah.
So that it's an earned boom.
It is one of my favorite vocal patterns in a verse ever.
Yeah.
I just love that song. Mm-hmm. I adore that song.
Yeah.
It is all that moody, weird shit I like from a place I never thought I'd hear it from.
Exactly.
Ever.
It is a song that I didn't think Anthrax was capable of writing.
You could have played that song to me and not know that it's an Anthrax, and you would never convince me it was Anthrax.
Been like, whoever this band is, I need to hear more of.
It's amazing. This is amazing.
Whoever this band is, they just landed their fucking dream on their debut album.
Oh, it's the same people that wrote Indians. The fuck?
Get the fuck out. Oh, but here, wait, listen to this other guy sing Indians. Oh. Okay, never mind. It makes more sense. Yeah.
Yes, where it's not the same in the inverse.
Yeah.
Tall.
And what I was, how simple, like the use of the, that reverb, what, the echo effect. The delay.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's so fucking good. It's so good. Now, this is one that was the most video-y.
Yes, it was. Who directed videos?
It is.
Because I thought I'd found
Mark Pellington.
Pellington, again. Yeah. This was definitely a. Okay, you did a good job before, Mark.
Yeah.
Now here's a budget. Apparently, that's what people want.
Yeah. They want some of this. And I've read and heard from the members themselves that this is inspired by Twin Peaks.
Right.
And I could say it's only inspired by Twin Peaks in that it is weird.
Really weird.
Video-wise, I don't think was as far, but Twin Peaks. No. Song, okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But not the video.
No,
what I gather, it's a guy trying to transfer the consciousness. This is what I got.
Yes.
Trying to transfer the consciousness of his dying love into someone else and failing a lot.
Yeah. Yes.
I could be wrong.
That's basically it, except in this one, he tries to do it with Dharma.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Which, yeah, Jenna Elfman before anyone knew who Jenna Elfman was.
Yes.
Which, the level of, like, if I ever met Jenna Elfman, I'd be like, I don't give a fuck about anything you've done other than this video.
Yes.
I would like to talk to you about this video, because goddamn, did you know it was going to be this awesome song when you were working on it? Like, huh?
No.
Tell me about it. Did you meet the guys?
Yeah, no shit. Did you twirl your hair and pop your gum?
Yeah. I'd be like, flirting with Jenna Elfman over a video. Huh?
Oh, man.
You're funny. How tall are you?
Oh, my God. It's so true. And the video is...
It's weird.
It's weird. And I don't think it does the song any favors.
No, I don't either.
At all. I don't think it serves it
well. Yeah.
I don't know what I would have done necessarily better, but it wouldn't have been this.
Yeah.
This is very much...
Some weird choices.
Whoever directed Black Hole Sun was like, something like this.
Yeah.
But with stuff we can do with the camera.
It feels very much like they were reacting to some David Fincher style filmmaking, even though it was really before he had taken off. It definitely has a David Lynch vibe. Honestly, it feels like they're like, make some weird David Lynch. And the guy said, did you say David Cronenberg?
Yes.
And he said, whatever.
Whatever. Okay. David.
Well, both of them.
Yeah.
Give me something that is a television acceptable.
David Lynchberg.
David Cronin-inch.
Cronin-Lynch.
Cronin-Lynch.
Now that sounds like a death metal band.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's David the name Cronin-Lynch. Of my fucking death metal project.
David Cronin-Lynch.
Cronin-Lynch.
I like it. But that's kind of what it feels like.
With our first record, Negative Platinum.
It's,
which sounds like a 90s alternative band.
It really does.
When everything was a box or a head or something.
Everything needed to mean something, man.
It's
a great fucking song.
It's a tremendous song.
But it definitely, this is the only kind of rock starry moment of Anthrax's career.
Absolutely. This is the one time where video-wise you're like,
you should have done it more than word style. Just black and white.
Something else.
Gary
Not
Sharon
this.
Sitting there rocking back and forth while he's singing.
I don't know. Someone convinced y'all this was a good idea.
Yeah. And I mean, of the time, I think it was, they were going because U2 was having a lot of influence on how videos got done.
That's
at
true.
This time.
That's a good point.
There were some other things. This, I remember when it hit, it felt very, like, yeah, it's an interesting idea, but it felt derivative even at the time for some reason. Everything about it was like, the way you're shooting this feels unoriginal. The subject matter feels unoriginal. It's just.
Yeah, like all the tight shot of her face in the car.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Tarantino with that early on, and then, but it not was, as. Well framed. I don't know if I'm making any sense, I got that feeling.
So you meant Natural Born Killers?
Yes.
In the way it was shot. Just that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's weird because it doesn't feel like, I don't know. It feels like it assigns some weird meaning to the song that isn't there.
I hate the video mainly because if you're trying to pay attention to the video, you lose focus on the song.
Right. Yeah.
And that's always a problem for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always, 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 always.
Yeah, the video has to serve the song, not replace the song.
Yeah, just to be weird, I've got to figure out what this guy's doing.
Right.
And I'm not paying attention, as close attention to the music.
Yeah.
Why are we here?
Yeah, and especially a song that is as complex.
Yeah.
Because this is a very complex piece. There's a lot of different themes musically that, I mean, it's really impressive work.
Yes, and it's sort of sad that we have this video to tie it to.
Because it's...
Thankfully, over the years, that song has meant so much to me in different ways.
Right.
The beautiful thing about good poetry and good music is you can
transfer it around to make it work for different subject, different people, whatever.
That's how I felt about this. I think I've only seen the video like 3 times.
So it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
Like it's not top of mind. Right. Whereas like I can't think of November Rain without that video.
Oh God, no. Just, yeah.
Hello, here I am in front of your face.
Yep.
And I can't divorce the two.
Fucking cake.
Yeah.
Why did he take the fucking cake?
I can't get past it.
Why?
I can't get past it.
You did not have to.
No.
In the slightest.
Right.
At all.
And
no.
And much like Estranged, I can't get past how fucking awful that song is.
It really is just jabberies.
Fuck off.
It's a masterpiece. You know how it has no chorus and no
man
real structure and just kind of goes from one part to another. And it was like, if Axel, because of course, listening, release the original demo version when both were the same song.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what's weird about this is this album does have some longer songs, but they don't feel bloated.
No, they feel looser.
Yeah.
In a way that Metallica probably wanted to pull off with Load,
but
just somehow couldn't because of the personalities involved.
Right, right.
We feel loose. Well, you're looser than and Justice, but come on, boys.
What is this? It's like
Sphincter's creating diamonds in as far as tightness goes. It's like the tension involved with that record is just like, You immediately, your shoulders go up. My shoulders went up to saying it. Whereas the looseness you were going for, maybe not. Simplicity is not always loose.
And what's weird is this does, a lot of it has, even though it's tight and stuff, it is a loose tightness, if that makes sense. It doesn't feel rigid. It feels like they're all together.
Yes.
But it's not some regimen. It's what comes from being in a band that long, having a fucking rhythm section that's related.
Like, no shit. That's why they continue to write quality music.
Yeah.
It's just we got this fucking guy here.
Yeah.
And that is the weirdest thing to me as we are pulling into base with this one, this episode. The fact that he came back.
Yeah.
It just feels like someone just gave up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that pisses me off.
It really does.
And look, guys, I mean, you're fucking Anthrax. What the fuck do I know? I don't know, dick.
Mm-hmm.
It's your music. It's your band. Do whatever. I'm sure everything's great. They say everything's great now. And it's weird to think about the time where things weren't great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a parallel with like Judas Priest.
Right.
For a while there, everyone got sideways with each other.
Yeah.
And then everything came back and it was great again.
Right.
Of course, because you went from Rob Halford, you know, metal god on earth.
Yeah.
To the guy we found in a bar, to back to God.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, yeah, everything is great again.
Yeah.
Whereas we went from, oh, it's a band with, I'm not a big fan of that front
man. Yeah.
Holy shit, that's the best I've ever heard, to, oh, I remember.
Oh, cool, they're back.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
It's
yes.
The line from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas comes to mind. There's the watermark.
Uh-huh.
And then the wave rolled back.
Yep.
And that's what it feels like.
It does.
Like maybe you wouldn't have had what you wanted in another idea of whatever you were trying to achieve musically with John, right? Mm-hmm. So you would get another, okay, well, get another singer.
Right.
I guess. But not back to this.
Not back. Don't go backwards.
Not back to this.
Yeah. Because it is
what?
A backwards move.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it. And it has kept me from enjoying a fucking note. Excuse me. It has kept me from buying any more music from Anthrax.
Yeah, yep.
Or searching it out, or giving it more time. And I did, in service of this. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just fucking wrong.
Nah.
Right? I usually am. So I gave it the full try, the college try.
Yeah, and
dude,
it's not there.
It's not there.
You have to have John. You have to.
You certainly got to have something other than Joey Belladonna.
Exactly, yes.
If John wants to do something else, for whatever reason, creatively, y'all didn't see eye to eye, but apparently everything's cool with each other, great. But not this.
Well, and I think part of what's happening is that there's more of a push for retro 80s, so they're going, people want the hair metal version, not the good version.
That's the thing, though. Anthrax was so much more than that.
They were, but,
and yeah. The fact that we have Sound of White Noise shows us not only were they more than hair metal or thrash, they could have been something.
Yeah,
really big.
They really should.
Metallica
have been.
Big.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That album proves it absolutely.
And it proves it, and it's the fact that we don't have that.
It's frustrating.
It's frustrating as fuck.
It's the way that I always look at Anthrax is like, how frustrating is this band? Ask the guitarist in the band who the best guitarist in the band is.
Yeah.
Ask anyone in the band who the best guitarist in the band is.
Right.
And they will all reply, the drummer.
Right.
And then you'll say, well, then why doesn't he play guitar? And then they'll say, because he's the drummer.
Yeah.
And that's literally it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I kind of respect and love that about Anthrax, that sums them up perfectly, where it's like, well, no, it's what we want to do right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think part of it is the retro phase and Bush just not, and also them not knowing how to sell them.
Yeah.
I mean, because they were leaning so much away from those metal acts, it just,
Yeah, the timing has to be remembered as well.
Yeah. Because they were hitting at the death of metal.
And everyone was trying to be something they're not.
Yeah.
If you were from a different era, either you were going to reject it completely and stick to your guns like Priest or Motorhead, whatever.
Right, right.
Motorhead, I don't think they knew what was happening.
No. Motorhead just kept playing
Slayer, their game. Or whatever. Yeah. There was this time where bands gambled with what they were doing. Metallica, obviously, being the biggest example of that. But there were even death metal bands that were doing it. They got shit for even trying to go a little different. Carcass, for example.
Right.
They have a record called Heartwork.
Right.
The members of that band came from Napalm. A couple came from Napalm Death.
Mm-hmm.
Watershed. Probably the first grindcore band ever.
Right.
Just their impact can't be understated. Fantastic. Carcass, super technical, gory death metal.
Mm-hmm.
Heartwork comes out. It's a white album cover with a Geiger art piece on it. Not the biotech stuff. It's very different. Looks like a peace signal symbol with some skeleton thing going on. Mm-hmm. Arms or some shit. Very sort of Otsy Fotsy for a band called Carcass.
Right.
But this record, Heartwork, is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect record.
Right.
It is a perfect record. There is not one note on that thing that is bad. Mm-hmm. Everything is perfect. It's in my little knucklehead gym, my home gym, I have a thing where I say to myself, well, it's got to get done. It's got to be Carcass. Well, I really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Crowbar or Carcass, come on, and I'll do it.
Nice.
That record. It got shit at that time for being, fucking sellouts.
Yeah.
And there was that with Anthrax. Fucking sellouts.
Right.
Fuck grunge. The grunge. Someone could even deign to point a finger and say, grunge to Sound of White Noise.
It's so dumb.
It's ridiculous.
It really is.
And the only connection being the producer.
Yeah.
What's ironic about all this, and this long rant does have a point, is that this is the one record that got it right.
It is. It is.
We're not going to be grunge. We're not going to be something we're not. We're going to be exactly who we are, but we're going to be better than what we've done before.
Yep.
And the sound's going to, it's going to be more contemporary, but not of it.
Exactly.
Does that make any sense?
It does. It does. We're going to show you what our version of the 90s is.
Yeah, this is what we do, but we're not saying we're going to be something else.
Exactly.
And they aren't. They're just more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff.
It's growth. Like what you're seeing is growth, and what happens when you find the right person to allow you to grow.
And the fucking frustration
of
not getting it again. Even though there were some good songs and other albums after this with John.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No question.
Like, Toast to the Extras.
Correct.
How in the fuck did that happen out of Anthrax? But there it is.
But there it is.
Because I don't think Belladonna would have even considered that.
No, he would've, I would. I guess he would have shot it down or just not been able to do it.
Just the idea of Scott Ian finally being able to just whatever. I found the person who can sing my shit.
Yeah, and I guess at a time, once that itch is scratched, I guess, you know, the face it, if you got to make money in this business, it's going to be shows. And if more people want to see Joey, I get it. I get the economics.
Right.
But the fan in me.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is just. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm right there with
it's
you.
It's the same thing with Metallica. When for whatever problems they had, when they went back with fucking Death Magnetic, you're like, ugh, you had to plagiarize yourself? Ouch. Ouch, man.
Yeah.
No, I don't love everything you're doing.
Right.
But at least you felt more honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I was saying, you know, fucking all of a sudden they're doing Moth to Flame. Like, what the fuck do you have, guys? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. That's...
But we're all the way gone at that point.
Yeah.
But...
What are y'all doing? Yes, Dame Gaga's wonderful, and I'd want to perform with her, too.
Sure.
Why not? I mean, it's Lady Gaga. Who doesn't want her singing one of your songs?
I want to sing with Lady Gaga.
Fuck yeah.
I want her to do Black Lodge.
Oh... Well,
hear me, Stephanie.
That's a perfect fucking way to end it. Y'all take care, and we'll catch you next time.
Don't go backwards.
Don't ever go backwards. Something might be gaining on you.